So let's go to 1 John. Good. I have two verses tonight. The first verse starts in verse 14. We'll back up to 13 just to see the flow. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know. So grab that word know. He wants you to know that you have eternal life. Now, with this knowledge that you have eternal life, he tags this conjunction and, so he's clearly making a linkage there. So those who know that they have eternal life, they have this confidence toward God. That if we ask, plural pronoun referring to believers, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And we ask God that you would give us grace to work through the text and to learn from it and to be encouraged and simultaneously made more aware of what the Bible says, and really, God, to be encouraged to pray more in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's our verse 14 and 15. If we are all in this room, or nearly all is a better way of saying it, there are always exceptions, uber honest, we get quite frustrated with prayer. If we're honest. And it's an incredible mystery that we can't reconcile our brains around. This verse sounds so wonderful. And we have this confidence before God that if we ask anything according his will, he hears us, and then we get our requests. And yet all of us, if we're, again, honest, we would say that I've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed about stuff, and it has not been answered the way I prayed about it. And we've probably prayed about a lot of stuff. I bet you that in the last year and a half, I've prayed for Linda Walters 150 times. Right? And she's still just as sick as she was 18 months ago or 2 years ago. And so this kind of makes it difficult. And if you look at these two verses, you get the impression that there's really like just one focus area when it comes to prayer. And that focus area would be this idea of finding out what the will of God is and then asking according to the will of God. But we have the rest of the New Testament. And we don't study things in isolation. And the reason we don't study things in isolation is because of the example of the apostles. All right, what are you talking about? We know that Peter read what Paul wrote. Peter comments about what Paul wrote. In other words, as early as Peter and Paul, they were reading each other's letters and making commentary on what each other were writing. So what I'm saying is we have an example from the apostles that we're not supposed to just look at this little one passage in isolation from the rest of the Bible. So then as I was brainstorming through this, I realized that there are other, and I put the word components, but I really don't like that answer, that word components, because like we have components of an engine, and then you put all the components together, and it's like making it work. And I don't want anyone to get that impression, like somehow we've discovered this magic formula, and if you plug all five of those things in, then the genie in the bottle responds. Because if we're honest, prayer is a mystery to us. It's a mystery. But clearly, number one is his will, and number two, I'll show you, is faith. You've got to believe. And number three, there's an incredible example in Luke 11, followed up again in Luke 18 on persistence. And then we've got personal righteousness. And then we've got the motive behind the request. In other words, there are at least five things that are brought to our attention concerning prayer. Not in this one passage, but in the entire New Testament. And I don't think it would be fair to study only this passage in isolation as though we don't know about this other stuff. So our passage puts particular emphasis on according to His will, He hears us. Now I looked and there weren't any textual variants between King James or anything that I could find. Let's move on. Yet there are several difficult questions in this text if we dig into it. Now, biblically appropriate confidence is a big deal to John. For example, all the way back in chapter number 2, he says, "And now, little children, abide in Him so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from Him in shame at His coming." So obviously John wants you to have confidence. In chapter 3, verse 21, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God." Chapter 4, verse 17, "By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as He is, so also are we in this world." Now what you just saw there was that reoccurring theme, because look what this says. Chapter 2, verse 28, progressive, this reoccurring idea, "We may have confidence and not shrink at His" what? "His coming." And then chapter 4, what is it? "At the day of judgment." The day of judgment and the coming is the same thing. When He comes, He's judging, and when He judges, He's coming. Now, He comes back one more time in our verse, chapter number 5, verse 14, "And He wants you, knowing that you have eternal life, to come" how? "Before God." Full of what, sister? Confidence. Right, like the writer of Hebrews says, "Come boldly before the throne of grace." Same idea. So now let's ask and then answer, what makes verse 14 so difficult to apply to our lives? What makes verse 14 so difficult to apply to our lives? What say you? Right. Is this prayer really going to work? All right. What else? What else do you see? And you're going to have to look at verse 14. What do you see? Yes, that should bring you confidence. What else? Mike? Yeah. Yeah. What is His will in this situation? What's His will? I mean, how many of you would say, "Man, I always know what His will is"? Because what He says here is that when you are confident that you're praying according to His will, then make your request known and expect to be what? Heard and answered. According to His will. And is it easy to figure out what His will is? And that's the struggle. What is something that we can say is definitely His will? What is something, someone come on, talk to me. What is something you would say, "This is definitely the will of God"? What's that? Okay. That none should perish. And then that would be quite the argument, Chris. Because the word usward in that very verse, who is He referring to when He says toward usward? Because the reality is there are many that are going to what? Perish. What's that? Okay, I would say that our sanctification, our personal sanctification is clearly the will of God. Paul teaches that. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. So clearly sanctification. What else? What? Okay, that we love. Clearly, that is something. So, if I'm struggling at loving someone, that obnoxious boss, right? I'm struggling with that. That's a real struggle in my life. But I know it's the will of God that I what? Love. Then can I pray with bold confidence in that way? All right. Anything else? All right. You're right, sister. Forgiveness. Clearly, it's the will of God that we forgive. Anything else? All right. Fidelity in marriage. Absolutely. So that which pertains to righteousness. So integrity, honesty, trustworthiness, moral integrity. What else? What? That the gospel would be proclaimed? Okay. Anything else? What's that? Obedience. To what? To His revealed word? Okay. To His word. Anybody else? What about contentment? What about contentment? Is it the will of God for us to be content? All right. What about thankful? So clearly there are some areas that we can really narrow down and know for sure that I can do that. All right. What I think makes this so difficult, and I'm going to remember what time it is. Okay. I'm not going to lose track this time. All right. Is the irreconcilable collision of God's sovereignty and whatever limited free will man seems to have. Do you understand what I'm trying to communicate here? As I have studied this day, and as I've studied prayer for many, many years, you have on this side, God is a cosmic bellhop. He exists for you. You just throw like your request, like he's Santa Claus. And then all the way on the other side, on Jack Farmer's side over here, is the opposite. These are the guys that say, it's all laid out. It's all laid out. It's laid out. God has ordained the dust molecules. God has ordained the waves. God has ordained the it's all laid out. And the reason you're praying is to commune with God. To have fellowship with God. To talk to God. So over here, and I just saw it on one Facebook just 3 days ago, the name it, claim it guys. You know what I mean? The name it, claim it. You speak it into existence. Tell God what you need. And then over here, God is so sovereign that I'm asking myself, why am I even praying? Why don't I just pray every prayer? It would be something like this. Lord, let your will be done today. Amen. What do you think? No, he doesn't want us to say that. I think that there's somehow a middle ground.
Because he wants that relationship. And if you just say, you know what, well, why do I need to pray? You already know. Then you're not having that relationship.
Right, but am I praying to affect the outcome of something, or am I praying simply to have a relationship? There is a difference. It's not the same. John emphasizes this same idea in chapter 14, 15, and 16. Let me show you. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now we have to ask, what does he mean by in my name? How would you answer that to someone? What you participate. How would you answer, what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Because I've had church members tell me that it means you say in Jesus' name. Someone who hasn't talked. What'd you say? How would you teach a child this? You're in Power Hour. You're in Summer Sizzlers. And this is what you're going to talk to them. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Are we going to say, in Jesus' name, amen? And that's what, that checked the block. I prayed in Jesus' name. The attitude of Jesus. All right. All right. Certainly it's praying to him. No doubt about that. But it says, whatever you ask in my name, ask in my... What does he mean by ask in my name? In your name, Jesus, I ask that I get a new boat. I prayed in His name. Okay, you want to go back to His will. Jamie. The names of God speak to His character. Okay. We're praying according to His name and His character. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it.
I would be a little fearful. Because if I'm praying specifically something blasphemous and then putting His name on it, I feel I would be calling down judgment on myself. Saying if I was praying for something specifically that's absolutely sinful and away from His will, therefore I'm very cautious to say in Jesus' name and also be very humble about submitting to His will.
Right, but do we think that Jesus was teaching us to add a tagline, hashtag Jesus' name here? Okay, so that's not what He means. I'll give you another one. What's that? Yes, clearly He's our mediator, no doubt about that. Let's pick it up in chapter 15. This time He says it a little bit different. Look how He says it this time. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you want. Ask whatever you wish, see it? And it will be done for you. Look at it. That's your Bible. That's our Bible. Let's look at it together. Put your glasses on. That's a good idea, Dennis. Yeah. Is it how you're asking it or is it what you're asking? It says, abide in Me and My words abide in you. Why do I need to make sure that His words abide in me? Okay. So if His words abide in me, then what do I know how to do or what do I know what to do about? How does that relate? I'm going to pray His word. Sure. And My words abide in you. What does it mean for His words to abide in you? Tell me, somebody, what does that mean for His words to abide in you? The Holy Spirit. What does it mean for His words to abide in us? Does anyone have an answer? I can't hear you. When your will reflects His, it takes us out of the equation. Okay? Is it something that's going to glorify God or is it something that I just want for myself? Yep. Together. Chapter 15, verse 16. You did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in the Father in My name, He may give it to you. So clearly I've got to figure out what God's Word has to say about stuff, and I've got to figure out what God's will is for something. And it seems to me, tell me what you think about this, that the greater degree, put it on like a bar graph, the math kind of person here, the greater degree to which I know this is the will of God is the greater degree to which I can be confident about how I'm praying about it. I'm saying, you know, like a graph. And this is, on this bottom line is my confidence that this is the will of God. And this up line here, X and Y, is that what X and Y? This right here is my confidence with which I'm praying about it. Yeah, it does require a relationship. I'm not denying that. But what about when you're praying about John Piper? You guys know who John Piper is. John Piper said he spent 15 years praying for his mother to get called home to heaven because she had Alzheimer's. You know that terrible disease. You know that terrible... He just lost his mom. And he just prayed and prayed and prayed. God, call her home. She's going home to heaven. She's, you know, she's saved, sanctified, set apart. God, and God didn't do that. Yes, sister, that wasn't His will. Right. And that's what I say. It's so difficult sometimes because we don't know whether it's His will or not. Yes. What's that?
He wants us separated from
this world. Sure. No doubt He wants us separate from this world.
Right. And the gifts that He gives us, spiritual gifts, that's what He wants us to pray for.
Okay.
Not this world, not this physical.
Okay. You said not the physical, and I would say that there are times when we do pray about the physical. So I ask the question without being able to answer it, just so that we're thinking about hard stuff on a Wednesday night. How do we reconcile all this emphasis on according to His will, in my name, if my words abide in you, with the rest of the New Testament? For example, look at Philippians 4. You know this verse. You've memorized it. Don't be anxious for anything, but with everything in prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto God. Paul says nothing about will of God there, does he? He just says, let your requests be known to God. In other words, our relationship with God is so comfortable, so fluid, so intimate that, you know, we just pray. So Pam will say, and she'll say afterwards, you shouldn't have said that, so I'll just be prepared for that. You pray about parking spots. And then what should we conclude if she doesn't get a good parking spot? That it was the will of God for her to walk more then, right? Right? I mean, what else are you supposed to do with that? You pray, but she's just praying about everything. Are there others of you in this room that you just pray about everything? You know, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. He's going to give you what He thinks you need. Right. So then my response to that, sister, just to kind of mess with you a little bit, to push your buttons, is, well, then why am I even praying? Because what? That's not an answer.
You know what? Like that says, no, let your request be known. It doesn't say just because you ask her.
I'm not saying it says that, but what I'm saying is if I'm content just to go, if I'm just, Lord, whatever your will is what I'll receive.
No,
you're right.
He wants you to have a relationship.
I'm trying to push your buttons on a Wednesday night a little bit. Yes, Jesus prayed. John 17.
Nevertheless, Father, your will be done.
Yeah, I'm going to show you that in just a minute. Yep. Mm-hmm.
But if we're not in prayer, then we're not in relationship.
Yes, but what I'm making a distinction between, sister, is you can be in thanksgiving with God, you can be in praise with God, but I'm talking about specific times when you're asking about something. Okay. Isn't the New Testament replete with encouragement to pray? Let me show you four verses. Let's turn to Matthew 6 and just remind ourselves of a great passage about prayer. We'll just read it together. Just because we can't read enough of the Bible and we can't know enough of the Bible. So you all turn there with me. Just remind ourselves, because if we're all honest in this room, me starting off, we don't pray enough. I don't pray enough. You don't pray enough. None of us pray enough. When you pray, verse number 5, you must not be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they've received their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who sees in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will what? Reward you. Now, I read that, and it seems to me that there's a correlation that people who pray more are going to be rewarded more. No? You disagree? Well, Robin's disagreeing and you're agreeing. So that's, I'll take that all day long because that's 50% better than I'm normally batting. Right, but he says that he'll reward you. Right.
Pray. He's asking you to have that personal relationship on a one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And
when you pray, verse 7, let's read it together, church. Do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for their Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And then having said that, that your Father knows what you need even before you ask Him, then He says what? Pray. Pray like this. Our Father. And I just immediately go into the King James language, memorize it that way. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then look at verse number 11. What's 11 all about? Say it loud. It's all about physical things. It's all about physical things. It's about headaches. It's about a knee that's out of joint. It's about a need for a promotion at work. It's about the job that Tony needed back. It's about those things. How could it not be? Give us this day our what? Daily bread. And then forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will be found. Knock and it will be opened up to you. Look at that triad right there. Does that not seem like an encouragement to pray more? Included but not excluded. How about Matthew 21:22 on the screen for you? Whatever you ask in prayer, you receive. And then look how conditional this is. If you have faith. And that's why I said to you, it doesn't seem like I can only say according to His will, because that verse right there in isolation says that it's about your what? Right. Look at Luke 11:1. Turn over there, please. Verse 1, now Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when He finished, one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught His disciples. He said, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And He goes through the model prayer again. In verse number 5, He says, this is just so interesting. Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to a friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him, and he will answer from within. Do not bother me. The door is now shut. My children are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up because of anything, because he is a friend, yet because of the impudence or importunity or persistence, your Bible has different words there, shameless boldness, multiple words here. What is this text highlighting for us? Because in this text, he doesn't talk about his will. What does he talk about here? What is he bringing to our attention in this text that needs to be an essential component to my prayer life in this text? Say it loud, please. Persistence. I mean, the text is obnoxious. Do not bother me. The door is now shut. My children are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. Go away. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his impudence, because of his persistence, because of his shameless boldness, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. I take this to teach me that there is a degree to which I must be persistent. And I don't know how to reconcile that with if it's his will. I'm just being honest with you and transparent. Because if it's His will, then it's going to happen. But here, He's encouraging us to do what? Here I am again, Lord. I'm right back here again, Lord. Here I am again. Lord, I'm not going to let go of this. Do you guys, like, shake your head if you're kind of seeing what I'm saying here?
I understand what you're saying, too, but I just want to throw it in there.
Throw it in there, brother. It
came up in my traveling around, too. If you look at what we're talking about now, and then you go back, and if you look at what happened when Lazarus first got sick.
Lazarus got sick, yep.
And you look at what his sisters asked Jesus to come. But Jesus didn't go then.
Yeah, he waited.
He waited.
Yep.
And when he did go, it was God's time because God got the glory for that. So you got to look at it, just like you said. She just said it here a few minutes ago, persistence. And then if we ask in God for something, He waived our motives. And at the same time, what will He get out?
Yeah, and I'm not comfortable using that language. What will he get out of it? That,
no, but I'm not saying
yeah,
what will he get out
right.
of it. But I'm just saying he does things in a way that he gets the glory and the honor. Like the gentleman was said about, he was saying a few minutes ago about he prayed and prayed for God to take his mother away.
Right.
At the same time, God does things in a way to bring himself glory and honor. And at the same time, he weighs our motives. For why we asking for what we're asking for. And she just said here just a few minutes ago, she said she didn't really know about anybody else, but she knows that God answered her prayer.
All of them?
She didn't say all. She said he answered her prayer, which was coincided with what you were saying when you were saying being persistent. That's what she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how many times do we pray, and we'll pray like one or two times for a certain thing, and then, you know, it's by the wayside.
That's what
you
were saying.
Maybe God says, you know, obviously it's not important enough because you're not persistent and you're not, you know, like continuing to ask for that thing.
Right, and what I...
But that's what he was saying, too. Yeah. It's not a high and by thing.
Yeah.
No, it's not a high and by thing. It's not. We all agree with that. I think his motive was, just from what I read, sister, was his mom was in misery.
Right.
Alzheimer's, I mean, you're not enjoying life when you're in a state of Alzheimer's. When someone has to feed you.
That's selfish. And if that's selfish, that's the wrong motive.
Sure.
And when my mom was about to pass away, and I came in here with a broken heart, and I prayed, and my mom got at least 15 years or 10 years to my mom's life, like she did with half the time.
Okay. Amen. Amen.
But what
she was praying to the Lord and quote the script of something.
Pray to the Lord and quote scripture.
And say, okay, Lord, you said it, now do it. She said he likes to hear that.
Quoting scripture, telling the Lord. My struggle sometimes is if we don't know what the Lord's will is.
There you go.
Because I don't think we always know what God's will is. Okay. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Verse 10 of chapter 11. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead give him a serpent? If he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? What am I supposed to take away from this? Verse 13. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father? And then notice what He gives us here. Why? Why does He say the Holy Spirit? Somebody back here that hasn't talked. Why does He, that this front area is just dominating the conversation? Go.
I mean,
Earnest expectations. I like that language. Yeah, I guess for me, maybe what's different from between me and y'all is that sometimes I don't know whether it's His will or not. And so then I don't know whether I should be praying. Okay. Because I think some of you act like you know what God's will is all the time, and sometimes I don't know. Okay. Yep, John. Sure.
And I think that also sometimes we might pray for something with a wrong motive.
Yeah, we're going to see that in a minute in James.
But if we're persistent over time, the Holy Spirit will frame it in our heart to where our motive changes, but it might still in itself be like a good thing. And if we keep praying for it then our motive has been reframed.
So the persistent praying changes my heart.
Right.
Okay? Yep. Patty. Right. And of course, that's excellent. I mean, that's clearly going to be His will. It's clearly going to be His will. So I answer the question, why would the Holy Spirit be such a gift when it comes to prayer? Because that's what He said. Look what He said. He said, if you knew how to give things, He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. Why? Answer the question, why would the Holy Spirit? I think you did in part, right? You said that the Holy Spirit is going to help us remember the Word of God. Why else?
And that's what my favorite answer. When you pray and the Holy Spirit gives you exactly what to say, the Word of God, which is the Word, His will, He reveals that to you in prayer. And when that has happened for me, my prayer, that's when my prayer is answered.
Okay. Anybody else? Why is the Holy Spirit such a the gift that He says here?
Certainly the gift that comes from the Holy Spirit interceding on our behalf.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Romans 8, where He intercedes, He groans on our behalf, right, when we don't know how to pray. Okay? Anybody else? Just a couple more verses. We're almost at the end. This is very interesting. Luke 22. I'm glad that there are folks in here that are going to have the answer to even this verse. We can start in verse 39. And He came out and went, as it was His custom, the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed Him. When He came to the place, He said, pray that you may not enter into temptation, talking to the disciples. Jesus withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down and prayed, and then He prayed, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. What do we see in this from Jesus? Somebody tell me that who hasn't talked already tonight. What do we see here in Jesus? What are we seeing about Jesus in this verse? His what? Yeah, we're seeing His humanity. Yeah, we're seeing His humanity. I mean, what's He doing asking? What's He doing asking for the cup to be removed? Right? That's an honest prayer. Full disclosure here. Super transparent right here. And then I would be remiss if I didn't remind you that James 5:16 says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man
Amen.
Or woman makes a difference.
Amen.
Avails much.
Amen.
So, how about 1 Peter 3:7? Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. What I just wanted to do tonight was show you the multifaceted things that the Bible says about prayer, that it has these different angles right here. So if my prayers are not being answered, then I need to ask myself, am I praying according to God's will? That would be one. If my prayers are not being answered, I need to ask myself, is it a lack of faith? If my prayers are not being answered, then I need to ask myself, am I being persistent? Have I just prayed one time and I'm done with this? Or am I coming boldly before the throne of grace over and over again? I need to ask myself, is there sin in my life that's causing my prayers not to be answered? Because he says, a righteous man avails much. The psalmist says that if I regard iniquity in my heart, he won't hear me. And then my motives. You ask and do not receive because you ask. King James language is amiss, right? Amiss. Wrongly. I need to check my motives. Why am I praying the way I'm praying? So number one was what? His will. What was number two? Faith. Number three was persistence. Number four? Yeah, personal righteousness. Is there sin in my life? And number five was what? My motives. Why am I praying this way? I'm not saying that it's a magic formula by no means, because I think it's a mystery beyond comprehension. A mystery beyond comprehension. Because while we hold out our free will, when I'm praying for my son's salvation, I'm actually praying that God would take away that will and lead him to follow him. So there is quite, like I told you, this clashing of understanding of things. I think one of the reasons that it's a little bit more real to me, perhaps, is because so many of you, and I'm not complaining, I'm just being transparent as a shepherd, you will share with me, I've been praying about this for 5 years, I've been praying about this for 8 years, and God still hasn't answered my prayer. Why not? And I don't ever have the answer. You know? Couple ideas. Someone's salvation. Been praying for my nephew's salvation. Been praying for my son's salvation. Been praying for my daughter's repentance for 5 years. Or, Pastor, I've been praying for a spouse. I want to have children. I want to get married. I've prayed every day about this, Pastor. Why isn't God answering my prayer? And you would think that it would be the will of God for them to be married, right? Because be fruitful and multiply. I'm just saying it's a struggle. We can't reconcile it. Deuteronomy 29:29, what's it say? The secret things what? Yeah, the secret things belong to the Lord. Let's pray. God, me, us, all of us in Berean. None of us, head of school, principals, deacons, elders, pastors, teachers, God, none of us pray enough. And so we pray, oh God, that your kingdom would come in our lives. We know this is clearly your will, Lord, that your kingdom would come. We know that you ruling and reigning in our hearts and in our minds is clearly your will. We know that we can pray boldly for you to come and occupy our lives as our Lord and Master and King. That we would submit to your will in our attitudes, in our graciousness, in our thankfulness, in our moral integrity, in our willingness to quickly forgive and let things go. That all of that is unequivocally your will. We know, Lord, that the sufficiency of your grace is clearly your will. So we pray for that, Lord. We pray that this church would advance the gospel that the gospel would be clearly proclaimed week after week, day after day. We know that's your will. We know personal holiness is your will, Lord. So we pray for those things. And God, we just give you great praise for answering prayer, like Tony standing up on Sunday night and just giving us such a testimony of your intervention on behalf of the Derry family in such a big way, God. And for that, we give you praise and honor and glory, and we thank you for that. Thank you for the eternal life that you've given us in Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. And finally, we ask God that you forgive us for not praying enough. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we're so thankful, God, that you do that. Amen.